quick, sorry.
Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Please download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH, and you will have it on your phone or any electronic device anytime that you would like to listen to some programs that we offer here on WWGH. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, LLC, 1325 North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. And Chappie's is a hose specialist, and he's located in Marion, Ohio. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month, and that will take place May the 11th. Time, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply show up. Provide name and number of people in your family. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. As soon as I locate it, okay. And it's the title is Your Attitude. Create a positive attitude filled with good feelings, and even just your presence will do wonders in situations. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything, but have a pleasing personality and a smile on your face, no matter what. Okay, let me get with my guest for today, Steve Chapin.
Captain.
Okay. Every time I say that it's name, right. It's wrong, and I
Everybody
practice on it before
it
I
it's
get
okay.
here.
It's okay.
Even when I got out the car, I said, Chapin, right? Chapin?
Chapin, right.
Chapin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let me do something real quick, Linda, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
On the Facebook page, you posted I was a former law director.
Okay.
I've never been a law director.
Mark, I thought you were.
No, Mark Russell's been a law director, and I just want to let all our listeners
title?
Know he has just no one's filed against him. Today was the deadline, so he will be running unopposed this year for another 4-year term. I've been the assistant law director with Mark for 27 years thereabouts. So that's. But that's okay. I just
and
wanted
I did think that.
Correct that on the record there.
So. I did think that.
But I wouldn't want to upset anybody about that. Or misrepresent in any way. But thank you anyway.
I was pretty close, though.
You're close. I do work at the law director's office.
I hope no one was offended.
I don't think so. I don't think Mark would get mad. Or nobody else, really. So.
Oh, well.
No problem.
We were just talking about political correctness, right?
Yeah. You got to be careful what you say. But as long as we correct the record, we're fine.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to do that first thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up is you had, the last time we was here, I think I was a little disrespectful, and I wanted to apologize. You wanted to talk about the Board of Elections matter, and I didn't want to do that. But if you want to talk about that, I'm willing to.
You feel better about it now?
I feel a lot better about things now. A lot of things have developed, especially at the Board of Elections. Everybody is very happy there now. The house was cleaned. I've been there and talked to people. They've hugged me and said, hey, thank you. Things are so much better. It's like a breath of fresh air. So I feel so good about what I did. I know it was the right thing. And I think more and more people are recognizing now after the dust has settled now 5-6 months down the road. So now I know there's still people who still have hard feelings about it, and I'm sorry about that. But
right.
You have to do what you got to do sometimes, Linda. And,
and it doesn't feel good sometimes
to do
things
these things
that we have to do. Yeah.
No. I didn't take great pleasure in it. It was very uncomfortable, but I felt a responsibility. So
mm-hmm.
That outweighed my concerns about my own feelings and,
right.
and the repercussions.
Friendships and all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Some friendships went down the tube, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. So, anyway. But I think the results are now coming out that it was the right thing to do. And I think we're going to have a very successful election tomorrow. We have some new machines down there, of course, new people. But I feel very, very good about everything, how it's moving forward. Confidence has been restored in the process, let's say that.
Okay. Okay.
In my opinion.
Well, that is a lot more than you gave me last time.
I didn't give you anything because I was still kind of hurting. And
I've
been careful not to say a whole lot to anybody. But I'm ready to answer any questions that come up. And I'm hopefully, they say time heals all wounds. So we hope that'll happen.
Can I say or ask exactly what did happen?
Well, we had to terminate the director and the deputy director because they just couldn't get along. And it was just causing too many problems with people. And there were all these accusations about the election being rigged and improprieties and so forth.
Right.
So, and it was a constant disruption at every board meeting. We couldn't even make it through the election. And then even after the election, there was an election contest filed by one of the candidates. Because,
right.
And I don't even know what the results of that are. But it's just you don't want that kind of stuff going on, Linda. You want to have elections to protect the idea that people have a right to vote and they're going to have a say in who their representatives are. That's the concept of elections.
Right.
Been
right.
going on for a long time.
Freedom of speech, right?
Well, yeah.
And our actions.
And participation and the right to assemble and be involved with their government. That's what democracy is about.
Mm-hmm.
If people lose that, and they are beginning to lose it a little bit, the idea that they have no say about what's going on, they'll resort to other means. If they don't feel like they have a say in government, they'll resort to other means, and it'll breed disrespect, which is what's going on now. We have a lot of disrespect for parents, for teachers, for police officers, for any of our institutions.
Right.
You know, it's
that's
just
true.
I was coming home from work today, and these women were just walking against the light and not even had a care in the world. They figured, like, you're not going to run over me. I mean, that's just the kind of disrespect you see every day. And, it kind of can bleed over if people don't feel like that they're involved and their voice matters. Voice
right.
of the people is so important. People have to have a voice, and
that's true.
It has to matter. So that's what I was fighting for,
okay.
And I think I did the right thing. So.
Well, good, and I'm glad you took that leap. It's like a leap of faith, and I'm glad you did. And I know it had to not feel so good because it's just like when you have to chastise one of your children.
Sure. Well,
and it really
too.
Hurts you, you know, like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
like and
oh,
you,
yeah.
you lead a room and sometimes you may cry or your wife may cry because it just really hurt, you know, to do that. But
you got
it's
to
best sometimes. For the child.
In the long run, down the road, they'll appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So true. Well, hats off to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So how did you get interested in first of all, being law director, did you go to school for that? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You went, okay.
I tell the story about you're probably the age of in watching TV in the 60s. There was a show called Judd for the Defense. It was a story about lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there watching it one day. I said, you know, that sounds like a really good career to do. And I didn't know a lawyer. None of my parents or my brothers and sisters or anybody in my family had even gone to college, let alone think about being a lawyer.
Right.
I said, I think that's a good thing. I'm going to be a lawyer. I was 14, maybe even 13.
Okay.
So from that day forward, it was my goal to be a lawyer, not even knowing what it was all about. Just it looked like a nice thing to do. You're helping people. You're standing up for people. And so I pursued that and got my law degree and landed in this position. Got to know a guy named Mike Grimes, who was a law director back in the early 90s. And he asked me to join him, and I said, okay. And I've just been doing it for all these years, and I enjoy it.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great that you said what you were going to do and you did that.
And I think people should. I mean, if you feel so strongly about something, even if it seems out of reach for you, pursue it. Just keep pursuing it. I think determination and persistence, those characteristics beat out education, beat out talent. Beat
and
out,
logic sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's, had a motto he followed, and he said that. He said, persistence is omnipotent. In other words, if you're persistent, it'll beat out talent, it'll beat out education, it'll beat out privilege, which a lot of people are born into,
true.
Right? I wasn't born in any privilege, and I certainly didn't. I'm not that smart, but I'm hardworking, and I'm definitely persistent. So those two qualities will get you ahead when nothing else seems to be going right for you.
It will get you what you
so
want.
So everybody out there, hang in there. Do
yes.
not give up.
Well, persistent.
That's
yes.
right.
And you know, you could, sometimes you can just feel so compelled to do something.
Absolutely, and pursue your dreams. Oh. You want to be happy. You know, that's what life's about. Well, it should be. We got so many people that aren't happy. They're not pursuing their dreams. They're not pursuing pleasure. I mean, not just gluttony, but I mean doing things that are rewarding for you and hopefully other people. I mean, that's the greatest reward, when you can give, help other people. That's that's really great, you know.
And when you said, you know, we have so many unhappy people, at least we hear that all the time. People are not happy. People are stressed.
They're not. I can tell you. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
They're not
most
happy.
Most stressed nation in the world is the United States, you know.
It. Yeah.
And like you said, well, maybe a lot of people are not pursuing
they're frustrated
passions.
With their jobs, with their family, with their, you know.
The government, everything.
Yeah, everything. And just sit down, take a deep breath. What can I do to fix myself so I'm not so unhappy? Because I'm going to project my unhappiness. You talked about it. You know, try to project some happiness, some goodness.
True.
Find it in yourself first.
True.
What do you like to do? Do you like to take a walk? Do you walk your dog? Do you find something that you enjoy that makes you happy, and then grow, have that grow inside you.
Right.
So you can spread that around to other people. Because I'm not, I mean, I'm guilty myself. I spread misery sometimes, and I shouldn't do it, but I'm guilty. I mean, who isn't guilty of certain things, right? And I'm trying to do better, Linda.
Well, you know, I think we all are, because we're not creatures of always. We're not always happy or sad or, you know, on top of the world. It's just not always. We have our ups and downs, our highs and lows, you know, and sometimes just inconsistent. We're just not that kind of. God didn't make us that
I brought some topics to talk about if you want to. Okay, well, the first one is this Mueller report.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Of course I did.
Okay, and it's been on the news a lot, and the Democrats want to hold Mueller in contempt for not turning the whole report over. He's given part of the report. I've read it, at least half of
it. Did you?
It's a difficult read, and I'm an attorney, so I'm used to reading dry material, but this is extremely dry.
Oh,
but I've got a pretty good summary that I'd like to share with you.
Go ahead.
And I think, you know, it just sort of summarizes it in the most tangible way. We know for sure the Russians wanted to interfere. That's
wanted
clear.
To or did?
Wanted to and did.
Okay.
Both. They set out to do it, and they actually did. And that the Trump campaign, I'm not saying Mr. Trump himself, but the Trump campaign wanted to be involved with that. They, when they were told, hey, we're here to maybe give you some information, they said, yes, that's great. Let's meet and find out what it was.
Right.
They even shared polling data. Now, when you're involved in campaigns like I am, oftentimes people conduct polls.
Right.
They'll find out where they are in terms of their opponent. They'll try to find out what issues are there. And that polling information is very helpful in a concept called targeting.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew, for example, education was your top concern by a poll,
right,
I would target you messages that would help motivate you to vote for me on that issue. So polling data is very helpful. They shared polling data with the Russians, and we know the Russians were involved with a firm called Cambridge Analytica,
mm-hmm.
which was specializing in targeting, especially on Facebook and Twitter. They used social media in a new way, in a more, I wouldn't say coercive, in a more persuasive way than had been used in past.
Right.
So they were involved with that. Like I said, the Russians doing, they were eager to help. The president himself was involved with obstruction. It says the president's attempts to obstruct, even if he didn't actually obstruct, he did have attempted to obstruct many times by trying to fire people, by trying to get people to lie.
It stopped investigation and all that.
Yeah,
part of it too, right?
And let's say that nothing happened, that they didn't have any collusion or any obstruction. Well, why did everybody lie? Why did they try to hide all this? If you haven't done anything wrong, Linda, you're generally not going to be as defensive. But if you've done something wrong and you're trying to hide it, then, yeah, you're going to fire people. You're going to try to get people to lie for you. You're going to come back and say this is all a witch hunt, which is what he did all the time. And we have proof in the Mueller report that he tried to get his personal lawyer, Don McGahn, to lie and to fire Mr. Mueller.
If you have any questions or would like to contact my guest today, please call 740-383-9944. We're discussing the Mueller report at this time. Again, 740-383-9944. Thank you.
And I think the biggest thing that came out of this was Trump has no concerns about whether his actions are illegal or unethical. And there is a thing called ethics that everybody in government swears to. We take an oath of ethics, which means we're supposed to act responsibly. We have a public trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to set examples. And he's the president. I mean, come on. It used to be when I grew up, everybody said, well, you want to be like the president, right? You want to grow up to be the president.
Oh, yeah, it was a great honor.
Yeah, and, you know, I looked up to the Kennedys and Johnson and, you know, all the presidents, even Nixon somewhat.
All of them, right.
Even though he kind of fell from grace there a little bit. But it's still a big responsibility.
It's the highest office in our land.
And, you know, you should respect the position. But he's kind of tore it down quite a bit just in terms of respect. Like I was talking about earlier, we want to respect each other and have mutual respect for everybody. But when he sets the example, when he does some of the vulgar things he does and some of the things he says, it's just, it's not good. And the Mueller report kind of summarizes all this, and I would encourage people to look at it or try to get a summary. Of course, there's, you know, people are going to say, oh, there's nothing to this. It's a bunch of bull. But he's, a lot of money and time was spent in getting and developing
this. Taxpayers' money,
right?
It's
worth looking at, and it's going to, it's not going away. The committees are going to continue to investigate. They're going to try to get the full report, and they're going to continue to investigate. Plus, there's, on top of the Congress, there's other investigations going on in with U.S. attorneys' offices around the country. So it's going to be an issue. People should understand what's going on. And a lot of people are saying, well, the jury is going to be the voters next year. Mm-hmm. And I've got that kind of is my next topic.
Right.
We're going to have a lot of candidates on both sides. It looks like even the Republicans are going to have primaries. But the Mueller report, I think, is interesting to read. There's 10 documented examples of obstruction that are pretty clear. That they're saying, had it not been the president, they would have been indicted. But because Mueller said it was Department of Justice policy not to indict a sitting president, they didn't do it. He was going to lead it up to the Congress. They may or may not conduct impeachment hearings. It depends on how far it goes. It probably won't ultimately matter. He won't be removed from office. But the thing is, people will hear more about what has been going on with him and his office and his campaign. I think that's helpful, just for people to know.
My question is, why didn't he give his own report? He was hired to do that report.
Well,
why did he give it to, who was it, Barr?
William Barr. He did do the report, and he wants it.
I mean, why didn't he tell the people what
let me explain the process. The way it worked is they changed the law. They used to have the independent counsel when under Clinton they had this guy investigate. They changed the law so that it's not an independent counsel anymore. It's just an independent investigation mm-hmm. person under the Department of Justice. So
okay.
he worked for the Department of Justice. He didn't work for the Congress, or he wasn't independent appointed by the court. He worked for the Department of Justice. He was investigating it independently, but then he turned the report over to the head of the Department of Justice, which is the Attorney General. The Attorney General was then supposed to decide if he wanted to release it or not.
Okay.
He did release it, but he released a redacted version. And if you look at it, there's quite a bit of redacted material. He said something like 20% of the report has been redacted. A lot of the redactions were based upon what he said, interference with existing investigations or prosecutions.
Right.
May or may not be true. My thought, Linda, is they're probably not going to be – he will do everything he can, Barr, to obstruct and stop any existing investigations. Because if they're through the U.S. Attorney's Office, he will try to stop them. So that's probably not a very good excuse. I think the committee ultimately will get the report mm-hmm. unredacted. And we'll find out, but it may be too late. So
true.
People should read it now and start discussing it. I'm sure there's,
right.
you know, back and forth.
What's your next subject?
My next one was kind of ties into the election,
okay.
Which is how Joe Biden will win the primary.
You think so?
Yeah. Scott was on the other day with a gentleman discussing Biden's candidacy, and I called in and said, Joe's going to win it. I'm supporting him, by the way.
Okay.
But let me just point out a couple things in this article I've been reading. If you look at for the past 30 years, even longer, 40 years, vice presidents, former vice presidents or sitting vice presidents will normally win if they seek the presidency. Richard Nixon was the sitting vice president in 1960, got the nomination for the Republican Party. He then got it again in 1968. He was a former vice president. Hubert Humphrey sought it, did not get it, but... he got it in 68. Oh, he did get it in 68. So
okay.
he was a former vice president. Walter Mondale sought it. He was mm-hmm. vice president under Carter, and he got it.
Right.
H.W. Bush was vice president. He got it. Al Gore was vice president. He got it. So there's this history of, because name recognition, people know their experience. They're mm-hmm. right there with the president. They're doing a lot of the same things the president does. If something happens to the president, he's sick, he's removed from office for whatever reason, or he dies, they become president. Mm. The day, even before Biden formally announced, he was leading in all the polls. He's still leading. In his, as this article points out, it's not even close. And what's interesting about it, it's not just across the board. I mean, it's in every demographic. It's in among young people, among older people. And Scott was pointing out about how important young people are going to be. Well, I wanted to bring it to attention that I got it in the article here. How many people actually, 25% of the Democratic primary was their baby boomers, which is my generation, mm-hmm. or even older, 25%. And these are the people that vote in the Democratic primary. So I'm looking at the polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, and all over place. Biden's leading in all those. He's viewed as electable by all the status quo Democrats. Mm-hmm. You're going to probably see most of the leading Democratic elected office holders, governors, senators, et cetera, endorsing him ultimately.
Right.
So that's going to make a big difference. Now, he's a little old. He's 77, so he'll be one of the oldest people to run for president. But he looks pretty fit. And,
he looks okay.
I think he's moderate, and that's, you know, Nancy Pelosi says we have to capture the left center. We can't be – a lot of the other candidates are pretty far left.
That's true, or pretty far right.
So we're going to have to find somebody kind of in the center. And there was an article came out, I think it was in the Cleveland Plain Dealer or one of those, that Biden really fits in with these working class people who had identified with Trump. Many of them are dissatisfied now with Trump, but they don't see an option. But Biden would fit that bill. So I'm just saying, you know, here it is, May of 2019. Let's get together next June and see if I was right. But I predict I will be right.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. That's for sure.
Now, the last one I wanted to talk about is we were on your show probably a year ago, might have been 2 years ago, with the gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name. He had a beard. He was sitting over here.
I remember.
I can't remember his name right now. We were talking about the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And he said, it's going to be abolished. It'll be repealed. Mm-hmm. Well, here it is. It's not repealed. And I wanted to bring up this issue. This is a report from the Office of the Actuary of the Department of Health and Human Services. The bottom line, cumulatively from 2010 to 2017, the Affordable Care Act reduced health care costs by $2.3 trillion.
Really?
So, yeah. So now, I mean, people don't appreciate that because there's been some things that have gone on that have changed in healthcare. Drug prices are going up mm-hmm. astronomically, and people are concerned about that. And more people are buying into high deductible healthcare plans to keep their premiums down. But the problem is, then you got a high deductible, you get hit with a big medical bill, and that really hurts you. So people are concerned about that. The reason I bring this up is in connection with this is that we're talking about this Medicare for All concept. And the Congress did a big hearing about it a couple weeks ago. I'm a news junkie. I watch C-SPAN. So I was watching
it. I guess so. I mean, you're in the law. Of course you would be.
I don't know. I find it out. I get up in the middle of the night and watch C-SPAN. My wife says, what the heck is wrong with you? I don't know.
Can't get enough, right?
No. But it was interesting because people were saying, well, Medicare doesn't cover everything. No, it's true. Medicare only covers 80%.
Right.
But it's more comprehensive because you're prepaying basically with the Medicare. Like we're both paying into Medicare mm-hmm. whether we get it or not. Mm-hmm. You prepay. It's like the prepay premium on that.
Right.
So all your life, as long as you're working, you're
like Social Security, right?
Yeah. Prepaying into the system. It's a premium. You think it's a tax. It's not really a tax. It's a prepaid premium because everybody's paying in. The overall cost for the premiums are reduced because it's spread around people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cost of the care ultimately is then spread around different people too because when you get older, everybody gets in, and then some people are more riskier than others. So I think it's a good idea. I don't know that we can do it overnight, but I think it can be phased in. In fact, that's what Biden's plan is, to phase it in, maybe first year have people 64 and under or over and get it, mm-hmm. and maybe 63, 62. All the way down till you get to comprehensive care with everybody in Medicare. There's still going to be private insurance out there. You're still going to have the 20% unless we change that formula.
Right.
There'll still be things that aren't going to be covered. Hospitalization's always been covered 100%, but doctor's visits and that kind of thing, and elective care, optional, you know, cosmetic, that kind of mm-hmm, thing, will not mm-hmm. be covered. So there'll still be things if you want, and optical and dental are not covered under Medicare. So there'd still be things you'd have
That's true.
You'd have to buy. Have to get some supplements, and there'd still be competition for that kind of thing. And there's people that still – there's still physicians that wouldn't want to take Medicare, although most do. There'd still be some that would say, well, I'm not going to do it. And you can go to those physicians if you have the money to pay it. So I'm not worried about the people that can afford health insurance. Mm-hmm. They're always going to get good care. It's the people that can't afford it. And like I was saying, some of these people who are paying high cost, high deductibles, and high prescription cares, this would be done. So I don't know. I think there's been a lot of things going on here in the last few weeks, a month and so. So I thought I'd share some of those with your listeners. I hope I can bring some information to people, and I enjoy coming on your program and sharing this with people.
I enjoy you being here. So
thank you.
Talk a little bit about what people should expect on the ballot tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Well, the one I'm most interested in is the 5th Ward. Mm-hmm. You know Tara Dyer.
Yes.
And Tanner Hale.
Yes.
You know Tanner? Okay. They're in a Democratic primary for the 5th Ward City Council nomination. And why I'm excited about it is because we don't really have primaries around here that much.
Right.
And especially in the Democratic side. Getting people to run for office around here, most people shy away from it. They don't want to be involved with politics, and especially in a primary.
Republican stronghold. I think that's what people more or less shy away from.
I'd like to dispel that rumor somewhat, because the Democrats do pretty well in city races. Up until from 1999 till just the last cycle, the Democrats were in the majority on city council.
Yeah.
The Democrats have the mayor's race, the city auditor, law director. So we had done pretty good up until just recently. I'm hoping that will change and we'll get back. It's not because necessarily that we have that much better ideas, but it's just because I think it builds the system. Just like they want to have people at every level. They want to have Republicans on school boards, township trustees, everywhere, because it builds the base for the system.
Right.
And we want to do the same thing. We want to be able to recruit people out of school boards and townships and that to run for other offices like state rep and state senate and other state offices, because that's where big policy decisions are made. But that's an exciting
one. Is that the only thing that's going
to
be on the ballot?
Oh, no. There's lots of other things on the ballot. There's going to be some levies. I think River Valley has 2 levies, I think, on.
Okay.
And Pleasant may have 2 levies as well. I think they're both improvement levies from what I've read about them. I know Pleasant has been trying for many years. They want to improve their infrastructure, get bigger buildings and so forth. They probably need it. River Valley has a nice school building and system, but I think they need some more personnel or something. I'm not sure exactly what they need the money for. Marca has a levy, MRDD.
Do they have one every year?
Yeah, I think they struggle with the funding a little bit. It'd be good to have somebody on that could talk about that more informed than I am. But, they do have it on the ballot quite a bit. I assume they need it or they wouldn't keep putting it on,
true.
You know. And I'm trying to think if someone else
Tri
has.
Tri River's not up again.
Tri River's is not out on the ballot this year, not this primary. They may be in the general. But I think that's the only levies that I'm sure, you know. I'm not on the Board of Elections anymore, so I don't follow it as closely as I used to.
Right,
but I think that's what's on the ballot. I don't even have to vote for the Marca levy. But
still in your blood, though.
It's still in my blood. I'm still very interested in all this, absolutely.
Yeah, you've been there so long, it's still in your blood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, you're up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning watching C-SPAN, right?
Yeah. Not every night, but when I find something interesting to watch, I watch it. So.
From what I hear, they say that Democrats are having trouble with their moral issues. Incompetent when it comes to abortion and gay rights and you know the norm.
I do. I hear those things too, but
and they're trying to really drive that home now.
I don't consider myself immoral. I mean, maybe I don't judge as much as some others do. You know, I'm kind of a live and let live kind of guy. These kind of things, like with abortion, is a very personal decision. I just don't think we should be judging people about that. Certainly, I don't condemn, killing, nothing like that.
Right,
and
some
people equate that with killing, but it's kind of a gray area. And here's my point. I'm a lawyer. So the Supreme Court has said that up until the viability stage, which they determined to be 3 months, a woman has a right to make those choices with her physician and with her family and whoever else. So until that law is changed, and I know there's people that want to change the law.
Yeah, that heartbeat bill.
Yes, we should enforce the existing law and respect it, because if you think about the days before that was the case, women were having abortions unsafe and
that's
not a good thing. Yeah, plus, I think what's good about now, Linda, is that there's so many options, you know, pregnancy prevention options,
which
young women can take advantage of, which is great.
Yes.
I mean, that's really good. So people can plan and live their lives and still, you know, be active. So, issue of gay rights, the Democrats have always supported the rights of people regardless of your sexual preferences for at least 30 years. I think we adopted a plank.
That long?
Yeah, back in the 80s, we adopted a plank that we believe people should be allowed to express themselves, express their love for whoever. And I think that's going to be our position forever, you know. We just think it's fair. I mean, homosexuality has been around forever, since the beginning of time. It's not going to change. So why condemn people because of who they are? It just doesn't seem right to me. I mean, you get into this controversy about the baker that wanted to bake the cake for the gay people. But to me, it's like the idea that in the civil rights days, they would say, well, I don't want to serve with black people. I have a restaurant. Well, that's not right. You are discriminating against someone because of some ignorance is what it was.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the same kind of thing. I know
it
a lot of gay people.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I know gay people, a lot of gay people. And they're no different from you and me, other than their sexual preference. And that's none of my business, you know. But they're great people. They're very talented, creative, happy people. And we should treat them. Everybody should be treated with respect.
They say they make more money than a lot of other people.
I don't know. They're socioeconomic. But,
I don't either.
Yeah, and just saying, there's all kinds of people out there, you know, gay, straight, whatever, and let's all get along.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's not treat people differently because of these kind of things.
That's true. And like you said, some of the language that is out there.
So if that's immoral, well, then I guess I'll just have to plead guilty to that, then, Linda.
And I kind of think some of the language is immoral. I mean, because like you say, some of the language is racist. Some of it is just partial to one group of people than the others. So how should others feel when you're really discriminating against them? I mean, even in like high places. I put it like in high places.
Yeah.
High government places.
Well, it's no different.
But
you know,
then
women
were
treated 100 years ago, couldn't vote, and treated like property and, you know, not given. Now women are everywhere, you know, and doing everything, and that's great. That's what we want. We want everybody to be treated fairly. So each person should be able to achieve to the highest of their abilities.
Right.
And we should never try to repress people or shame them or bully them or whatever. You know, we should encourage them to lift themselves up and to do the best we can. So I don't know if that's what the Democrats are going to be labeled. Well, then I think we'll probably wear that pretty proudly.
People say, well, they're trying to take away our civil rights. The
Who?
Republicans trying to take away everybody else's rights
I'd like to think they're not evil. They're not doing it intentionally. I think their values are somewhat different. You know, they think the concept of family and community means being like them and protecting what they've got, and they are concerned about others maybe not feeling the same way they do, so they want to make sure the policymakers, you know, favor their policies more than maybe others. And people in the rural areas who don't maybe intermix with inner city people as much, so maybe the diversity's not there. So would it be great if people from the inner city could go and meet people in the rural areas, and the rural areas could go to the people in the city? And I think I saw that in Dayton. I lived in Dayton for a long time.
Okay.
On the east side was white. On the west side was black.
Right.
And they didn't want to mix that much. And I'm like, and I had friends on both sides.
Right.
I actually lived on both sides at times. I was like, what's the deal, people? I mean, you're all the same, really. You just got to get to know each other. So we would meet in the center, a lot of us, and that's the way it should be, you know, really. People should just try to see each other's point of view and get along. I've sat here many times at the table with the Republicans, and I always invite them, come on in, let's talk. Let's not call each other names and argue and fight. Let's discuss the issues and share our points of view. Maybe we can all learn from something.
I was just thinking of that lady I used to call all the time. She used to come on my show, and I think she had some health problems. Last I talked to her, it's been I think the last time she came to my show, she was Republican. I can't think of her name.
Remember her name?
No.
Huh.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, maybe you can
reconnect. She was good. Yeah? I think she came on with you before.
Could it have been Jackie Smith by any chance?
Could have been Jackie.
She was on the Board of Elections with me for a while. I think she came on maybe once or twice when we was out there at the mall.
Yeah, at the mall.
Jackie. I think she's ill. I don't really know what's going on with her right now.
I know she was having some health issues. I know I have her number somewhere. I may call
get her
and just
back
check on her.
Yeah,
see how she's
good,
doing.
Good, that'd be great.
But she was good.
Yeah, she kept up with things, yeah. I like the banter back and forth with everybody. It's good.
It
sharpens you. It sharpens you up. You got to be on your toes.
Yes, you do. And people need to know both sides and clarity between the two parties.
Yeah.
Really.
You know,
and independent. So where do... what do they believe in? Being independent. Is that away from Republican? That's
right.
Away from Democrat.
Right.
So what do they really stand for?
Well, and the thing right now, too, is, Linda, is that there's just so much bias. You know, like I go and work out at Planet Fitness in the mornings, and they have all the TV screens up there. And you watch Fox News, and then you watch CNN. And it's totally different. It's like they're not in the same covering the same news.
That's true.
You know, Fox will have it. The Democrats are conspiring to, you know, have a coup and get rid of Trump. And over here will be the Republicans are nothing but a bunch of spies and, you know, conspiring to. You know, wait a minute. You know, what's the real truth? You know,
right.
I mean, because there's so much bias. And it used to be 150 years ago, they had what they called a penny press. And there'd be, I think in Marion, like they had five newspapers. And there'd be one Democratic newspaper, one Republican, and one this and one that. So there's a lot of different viewpoints. But it's gotten so bad now that people will just lock into it. They'll just watch Fox News and won't listen to anything else.
True.
And then people will watch CNN and that'll be it. You know?
Right.
So they won't find any truth in anything because they're just locked into whatever the propaganda.
That's true.
What it is.
That's
true
because I remember when President Obama, well, he wasn't president at the time, but during the election and the process of going through the election and candidates, it was like they were totally, Fox was totally against him. And those who watch Fox, you couldn't sway them one way or the other. You can even get them to like, well, why don't you watch MSNBC or CNN?
Yeah.
You know, get a different perspective, you know, but they wouldn't.
They won't do it. Yeah.
They just would not.
I remember seeing some things put out by one group called the NRA. They were saying, Obama's going to take your guns, you know, take your guns. There were more guns sold under Obama than almost any other, because they were afraid and they went out and bought the guns.
Yeah. Still are, I hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They still are.
It stopped.
Yeah. Nobody's taking anybody's guns unless you break the law. I was having a conversation with Judge this morning.
My.
If people break the law and there's laws that say you can't use your guns when you're drunk, you can't use your guns to threaten people, you know, you can't.
Or a felon, right?
Yeah. If you're restricted from owning a gun, you can't have a loaded gun in a car. So there's already laws on the books that they haven't fought and got rid of. But the policy that we had in our office, if you use a gun to commit a crime, you should lose your gun because we don't want
the right to have one.
Yeah, at least for a period of time.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, there's people, they should be able to go hunt. Well, if hunting's part of the problem, if you're not being responsible, because there's rules on hunting, too. You can't carry your loaded gun out of the field. You have to unload it and, you know, just safety.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, there's safety issues.
Yes,
absolutely. And most hunters are very responsible and follow the rules. But the ones that break it ought to have some kind of penalty. That's the only way you have, you know, incentives to keep people comply with the law. I
agree with that. I agree with that. Shouldn't
maybe
be
I'm
able
too
to
far
just
out.
Do what you want to do whenever you want to do it.
No, not really.
You know, but we've had a lot of that.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that. So the law is the law.
Yep.
Like you said, and it should be obeyed. The laws of the land, yes, we should.
You can apply some fairness and justice to certain cases, but overall we should try to comply as much as possible.
That's true.
You know, and most people do. You know, most people do, Linda.
Right.
Vast majority of people follow the law and don't do anything wrong. But the few that do, that's what we have to pursue.
And then some suffer more than others.
Yeah.
But we know that's been forever also.
Right.
Do the same crime, but we got some get the worst penalties for it.
Yeah,
you know?
There's not equal justice at
times. No, it's not equal justice.
Yeah.
How have you felt about that as being in law?
About
not
equal justice?
Equal justice, yes.
Well, you know, I remember the O.J. case. Remember the O.J. case?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And he had some pretty good lawyers. And I've seen that kind of thing go on locally even. If you have the money, you can hire lawyers that know how to manipulate the system.
Right.
Even when the facts are identical. You have case A identical to case B, but the case A has the best money can buy.
Right.
Things can really, because they'll look at things a lot more closely. They have the time because they get paid, you know. I mean, you think about it. If you were getting paid, say, $100,000 to do what you're doing, you'd probably be able to spend a little more time developing your programs and, you know, but I don't think you're being paid that much to do this. So just think about it, Linda. In almost any situation, if you're going to get paid more to do a certain thing, you're going to have the time and the resources to probe it a little more closely and find some loopholes that you wouldn't otherwise.
Right.
Plus, there's a certain amount of prestige and influence that goes along with the higher paid situations, you know. People that hold positions of power have a little more influence, like this college admission scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Where you pay millions of dollars to get your kid in who otherwise might not get in because of grades or
and
whatever.
And I'm sure that's nothing new either.
No. Privilege has been around forever. There always will be people who will gain advantage through power or money or whatever. And that happens in the legal system, unfortunately, too. But I strive to not ever allow that to come into play in the work I do. I try to be fair as much as I possibly can. I won't say I've never fallen victim to the arguments of some higher price lawyer because they can be very persuasive because they look at cases a lot more closely and you're looking at them and say, well, maybe this does make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas another guy who is not getting paid much won't take his time to look at it. And
they do make you second guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, the quality of our lawyers here locally is pretty good. I mean, I practice a lot around down in Dayton, Columbus, up by Cleveland. I practiced in California for a while, so we have pretty good lawyers here, all in all.
I really haven't had to use many lawyers here.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a family lawyer, but little things.
Yeah.
You know, little things.
Sure.
When it comes down to something that we consider big, it just, maybe it was for the best, though. Things just didn't go the way I had anticipated or hoped that they would have.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is, and hopefully it's almost over.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I know we're kind of low on time, but I was thinking about that probation department. What's the difference between that and probation and parole?
Okay, parole is when you're on a felony and you've been convicted and you're released usually. You're released on parole. And it's the same as probation, but it's a little more scrutinized. You have more conditions. You might have to require to get a job and keep your parole officer informed about where you're living and what you're doing. Probation is usually, many times, we do a lot for misdemeanor probation, but then even felony probation, you don't usually get sentenced to prison or jail a lot of times. It's probation. It's like your get-out-of-jail-free card. If you meet certain conditions, again, you might have to get screened for alcohol or drug problems or some mental health counseling, or there might be other conditions like make restitution to the victims. Or stay away from certain people. There'll be conditions imposed, but it won't be as restrictive as a parole situation. So it's basically paroles for convicted felons who probably already served and then are being released.
Right.
Maybe some of their sentence has been suspended on condition they comply with parole. That's kind of the difference there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that seems kind of fair. I mean, I'm at the last of my time, so I have to cut that conversation even though I wanted to dwell in that a little deeper.
Well, maybe we could come back. I don't get involved with parole much. We do work with the city probation department quite a bit with our misdemeanor.
That's the one I
want
to talk
about. So it's pretty good. It's pretty comprehensive. They keep an eye on people pretty good.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Thank you,
You're welcome.
Steve.
Anytime.
For coming in.
Okay.
Spending some time with us.
Well, good.
And thank you for listening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series? I want to say six games. We gonna take it in six.
Four to six. So what do you think will happen when the Indians go to Wrigley? Because you know that city also is waiting for a World Series.
Yes, they is, you know, but I believe in the city. I believe in the tribe. It's going to, I mean, the president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field, and I believe that we're going to have one or two wins coming out of there.
It is an amazing night here, and it's great time. And tonight, to win the opener, does that give them momentum, in your opinion?
Yes, I do. I believe it. I mean, they've been waiting for this all season. Cleveland Indians was counted out. They didn't believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now.
And here we are in Cleveland. It's probably 39 degrees. The winds are...